I've never seen it.
People have said that to me over the years. I can't not find that book. That's one I'm sure we're not going to see again.
Well, if I don't see that, I'm just afraid that somebody threw it away. I just don't know.
No,
the woman did rebind it for me, though, but it was a very old, beat-up, brown-looking book, and the pages were so delicate you could hardly turn them. But she, a woman did, who worked for a publishing company, her name was Bertha Jenkinson. She was a Jewish woman, and she took that book and rebound it for me where it would stay together better. Mm-hmm. And so it just got away from me.
Negro Beast. Would you read your Beast book? Would you your mother had a copy of it?
Well, that was it was her book, but it originally belonged to, I think, my mother's sister, who was a little older than my mother. She was but she wasn't a lot older than she was for my Aunt Fanny, who was about 6 or 7 years older than my mother, and this sister was in between the two of them. And but Bessie was never photographed, because when they wanted to take a picture of her, she had become ill, and she thought she looked too bad and too frail and had lost some weight. Well, anyway, she was too sick to permit the photographer who was passing through the neighborhood to take a picture of her. And so she died without anybody ever knowing, except those who remembered her. So there's nobody living now who knew her. She died in 1905. And there's a letter. This minister of the church who wanted to marry her, he wrote...
Which church?
The Mount Zion EME Church, the same church that my, our family was members of.
But the minister wanted to marry her?
They said, I don't know whether he was... whether it was an act of engagement, but he was in love with her, and I guess she was in love with him too. She was very fair, and he was real, real dark, real, about like somebody, about like Esau Jenkins. And he used to tell my mother,
hard hands, but they were honest hands. Esau told me they're hard, but I remember
he was a big fella. But we have his picture, though, this minister's picture, that I don't think he looked.
Is there a picture in that article? I remember Esau, because I took those pictures myself.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Is there a picture of Esau?
You got Native on Willis.
Willis Goodwin. I thought I had Esau in that, too.
I don't see.
By his truck. By his van.
Here's something that says, Speedley Furniture.
Is that Esau, though? I may have a picture. Mm-hmm. No.
I haven't seen all the pictures yet.
Yeah, okay. I think I've got a picture of Esau in there. Mm-hmm. I know, so I took a picture of him.
I used to be showing Parks' picture of that book, rather, and he said, don't ever let that book get away from him. But people packing up, I guess, either tossed it out or put it somewhere when my things were taken over to different places, including Louise Tapp's house.
Yeah, we're going to need some of those stamp stuff back. Are you going to be able to get any of that, Mr.?
No, I don't see ya.
Yes.
There's a picture of Esau over by his truck somewhere.
Now, here is a truck here. And do I recognize him? Let's see, this is a
Native
bone with Steve Goodman wearing cross.
Yeah. Not him. That's not Esau there, is
who
it?
Lives on John's Island, knows every face, every name, every problem. Enter the motel is high, and the nutrition widespread since the medical facility. Black people are almost non-existent. Most babies are born at home. Well, I already read that. Yeah. And this is some of the young children. Now this is an adult here. They saw.
I took a picture of Esau.
Down.
I've got all those photographs. I took over 1,000 photographs.
That may be the minister there, because there's a chain that looks like a, it comes down here with a little cross that goes across It might be him.
Mm-hmm. Esau?
I think that's a minister.
No, that's a good one.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
And I don't know. This doesn't really look like Esau.
No, that's a good one. That's really a good one there. And that doesn't look like Esau. The picture I took of
now, this says Steedley Furniture. On the
truck. Yeah, no, Esau, that no, that's not his. That's Reverend
Lewis. He had a bus.
A van, he had a van.
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 They called it a bus, but I guess it was a van.
Well, I certainly write about him. But what year in the hurricane, what was his name, who was running for, he ended up being Ernest Holland's assistant. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send Esau Jenkins' photo sheet to show you one they didn't run of Esau. Well, he took me to a church where...
Now, in this album that I have of... I may finish reading that, but I just...
I'll give it to you. You know how this started?
Mm-hmm.
Like something leaves New York at blah, 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 and goes to the coastal terrain near Charleston. They changed it to a conspicuous part of the Atlantic coastal terrain near Charleston.
Oh, yeah.
What an editor can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Before they print it, they can...
But what disturbed me?
This woman.
And her that was a tar paper shack. And I've seen tar paper shacks, but you ain't never seen a tar paper shack in a humid coastal terrain where mosquitoes are as big as your thumbnail. And I saw that lady with that baby, and my camera, I took those pictures with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to ask her. I was taking a picture of that even before I got there, and then when I got close enough, I had to ask her if I could. And that's the one they used. You've been in the storm that long? You've been out there too, huh? That was another one from the Sea Islands. I've been in the storm. That's part of why I got a right to the Tree of Life. That.
Mm-hmm.
That guy who said he also wrote Martin's, the anthem. God, the guy who said he wrote We Shall Overcome, too. Guy Caroline. Remember that?
Well, he, now the person who, I first heard sing,
We shall overcome
as they sing it now was Zilthia Horton, Miles' first wife before she died. And Guy Carroll, he was a young teenager there, and he was a musician too. Yeah, he was right there.
What was that group that when we were at September's funeral?
Well, that was Guy and Candy,
okay.
The white couple.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Guy Carroll.
Well, see when they arrested. When they arrested Septima while Miles was away and raided them at Highland and put her in jail, Carolyn was one of the young white fellas that went to jail with her.
Yeah, I remember Guy. That's the book I got, Ain't I Got a Right to the Tree of Life. Yeah,
and Zilphia died.
Where are they now? I'd love to see them again.
They're still in Highlander.
But
Highlander has not moved. Highlander has moved from Mount Eagle in Grundy County over to New Market, Tennessee, 20 miles from Knoxville. So that's where they are now. And they're building the building. where we used to stay and have the...
Yeah, I
went
know.
To what?
September's funeral.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And,
I mean, I thought God had gone back to New Hampshire. Is it really from New Hampshire or
originally? I don't know where he's from, but he spent his teen years and he's still down there in Tennessee.
Still waiting for the
and
waiting for the dog.
But they came home pretty good, but they spent most of their time working with the Appalachian
poor,
whoever's needed most.
Yeah, the coal miners.
See, they worked hard through the our period when we were in the struggle about in segregation and so on.
What do you think of Ralph and where Ralph has ended up? I mean, he almost was a Demopolis boy. We used to like to call him a Demopolis boy, but he's from Linden.
Yeah, Linden, Alabama.
Yeah, which was the county seat of Marengo.
Well, maybe he hadn't completely ended yet. Maybe he still got a little, a few more. Because he's 7 years younger than I am, you know. He's a little older than Martin, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Mm-hmm. But he's not.
Well, you know, I taught his nephew how to play the trumpet.
Well, he still hangs, hold on. He gets out and talks and moves around, so he's had some very serious illness.
Yeah, well, he was diabetic.
Yeah,
everybody from around that area had to be.
He had to, surgery. Oh, yes, Levi Watkins takes care of him.
Levi takes care of Ralph too?
Mm-hmm. And
boy, it's going to save our loss in Alabama. You better put my name on the list if I keep smoking it. That's if you know anything about the lungs.
Well, he's a hot man. And the brain
too.
Man.
The hot for lonely hunter, Miss Steele.
Ralph. Bother with anybody fooling me if they had been somebody stopping.
I don't blame you on Miss Pop. Trust in them. You know boys from home.
there are probably those who would not give you the kind of service you require.
Oh
well. No, I'm not.
Somebody was in the chart was talking about why did I have to go wait at John Hopkins to go to a doctor when there were so many doctors in Detroit? But see, my doctors in Detroit never that I was going to.
Who's that?
That's the,
I know who that lady is. I know that's little Levi.
Yeah, that's Levi.
And this is Elaine.
And this is Francis Hooks is over here. And then this is Ms. Mitchell. And
this lady is the president.
What is she in the ACB? Did you write her name on there? No, her name is Ella. It's
I know this lady.
But she is one
this
of
is
the
a Delta. She's a Delta.
Yeah. Top ladies of the NAACP too.
But she's it starts with an E.
Enola. She is one of the top people on the national board of the NAACP, but I can't think of what her position is. She's not that.
I know this lady.
Yeah, she is big, too.
Mm-hmm. I know this lady. I've been on the diocese. God, come on, help me. I know this lady.
I do too.
We should have had the names on the back of the pictures.
Yeah. I better do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's very
do
proud.
The same thing with the
that
tapes.
Was during the
put
time
the
when they...
I know that lady.
When I was at John Hodges, and I was covering up I was wondering how was I going to...
Where was that picture taken?
This was taken at the
hotel. Baltimore.
It was that old hotel.
This year.
That was right after I had had my implant.
No, that wasn't the implant. That's when you were wearing
the monitor. Sorry.
Do you go through the airports with that, the one that we just put in?
She got the top of the line.
So you don't have to go around. You can go right. I noticed that because I had read in Jet that you had had it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I noticed you at the airport, you went right through the thing and it didn't bother you.
Microwaves, anything, she can go through any of that.
All the people who got the other one, they can't.
That's when I ran the monitor.
She was ready, and she did it so nice because we had a...
That boy had come a long way from the lab school.
He's a good doctor. He is really...
I used to send him copies of my book when he was at the lab school.
Very distinguished.
And when Lieber was president, I remember stating he was at
the lab school. Many awards as you do.
Tell him to put them in the drawer.
Yeah, he's still...
Big Top used to tell me the only thing a dead man holds in his hand...
He stays on the battlefield, too.
Got to.
Yeah. He was saying about
trying to
broke the bus.
What else you gonna do?
Broke the bus window.
Tell somebody to meet me. I'm coming on. What are you gonna, hey, what we gonna do? What else can we do? Mm-hmm. It's a rainy night in Georgia. Clouds falling on Alabama. But down here they call it moon over Miami. Boy, that Levi's coming. Boy, that's amazing. See, people don't understand. Elaine. People don't understand. I mean, Alabama and Mississippi is something else.
And Georgia, don't leave Georgia.
Really, I can't leave Georgia. Don't leave Georgia. Because then you really know how it feels to be a problem. Did you know that that's how the United States Library of Congress called the race relation problems in America? How they catalog it?
Mm-hmm.
U.S.-race question. Yeah, and what's the other one? Dewey Decimal System called it U.S.-race problem. Dewey says we're a problem, and the Library of Congress says we don't know. Yes, ma'am. There were four y'all. I won't be dealing with no Bobby Water, you know.
You don't see with Bobby Water? Anything with Bobby's got to be more than one.
I drink Bobby Water in Mexico, so when y'all come to Mexico, bring all the water y'all want. I don't even bother with the cantaloupes down there. Levi Watkins Jr. Isn't this amazing?
And his parents, especially his father, was against him going to this medical school because he said going to medical school at 7, I guess he wanted to go to Howard.
Vanderbilt.
And he went to Vanderbilt instead.
Then when he ran into some trouble, Daddy wouldn't even back him. Back to white folks.
Well, Daddy was doing that. Well, that was
a mistake. But
this
was his son.
Yeah, right.
This was his son.
Ask H. Counsel Hooper Jr. or whatever. This guy said
he's on the stand till today.
Yeah, H. Counsel. That boy went to the lab school. He was in the lab school. He went to school with Motley, some children up at the lab school.
Who?
Levi Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Why'd you look so young then, Elaine? Miss Steele, I'm sorry.
Why did she look young?
In that picture with Levi.
I don't look young now.
No, I mean, you look like a preppy. Not. You look like a preppy on that one.
I was dressed, you know.
Who is that lady, though? I know that lady.
I look better when I dress.
I know that lady. what was in that picture,
mm-hmm.
next to you.
Well, I know it too, and I don't know why I can't call her, but...
And I know she's a devil because I was on the stage with her. Is she from New York? Or what? I'm trying to figure out where I know her from. Where is she from? Does anybody, do you know?
Baltimore.
Her home is Baltimore.
Oh.
Now, where is she from?
I don't know that much.
But
about
she
her,
was.
I know her from some civil rights song.
In
the
HCP, and she was at the dedication of the opening of that new building in Baltimore. And they bought this new building and left New York completely, the headquarters of the NAACP.
Do I know her from New York, though? That's what I'm trying to figure.
Could be.
Because I was on the board of directors of the...
She is very active,
Was she Manhattan, NAACP Manhattan president?
She is a president of something about the NAACP, but I don't know whether it's a Manhattan...
But I do want to know who she is, because I know her.
I think it starts with an E, I know that.
Is that her last name?
No, it's her first name.
Oh. I think it's the Lola.
Being an English professor, if you say Enola, then I started thinking about the Enola Gay, which was about the plane that dropped the atomic bomb.
It's something.
And I'm still dealing with it.
Just have to remember. Mm-hmm.
But that was it, where, in his house? In the
no, that was in the Hotel Belvedere, an old hotel in Baltimore.
The old hotel, the old world hotel, the old European style one. That's
mm-hmm.
down
and
on
see, it has a... rooms that it was once a residence. And so Eli was Eli, I guess I'm thinking about
Esau, your computer. Yeah, your
no,
computer.
I was thinking when I said Eli, I was thinking about Septima and her Eli and Nerai is her sons and grandson, her sons. But
I'm sorry,
she
I never
was,
met her. I mean, everybody talks about her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was quite a lady.
The women really, and aside from you, we really started this whole business. We talked about that though, I don't want that would be, I mean, we talked about why women were able to do things that black men were not able to do, and we don't want to make your book a tone for black women than the rest of you. You give me all these love. I love your looks.
You're talking to... Oh.
No, I'm sorry. We're just rambling. You never know what comes out of my head until you read it and tell me I can't say it. But I've always been fascinated about that because even in four, when I ended up with those guys, because SCRC wasn't, and Snick wasn't crazy enough for me. I mean, they really were. I mean, they were preachers. They were all, we used to think they were all sigmas, you know. Kappas and alphas always thought that the civil rights movement was run by the preachers who always tended to be sigma, not very sigma. The interesting thing...
What about the down there in Louisiana? The
Deacons
for Defense and
Kirkpatrick? Kirkpatrick's in Hawaii. Do you know that?
No, I didn't know the impression of it. I just read about it.
Yeah, Kirkpatrick
didn't get
to Hawaii. He went to paradise. Mm-hmm. After he'd been beaten enough down there in Plaquemine Parish or whatever. what's his name? Orlando Perez? The man who ran. You talk about Huey Long, but Orlando Perez, who ran Plaquemine Parish, which is where the electric chair is for black folks. Did you know that? Because there's only one electric chair in Louisiana, that's black folks. It's true. I mean, white folks don't get the electric chair because they have what they call Napoleonic justice. Well,
that's what
Kathy, I was going to say, Kathy can tell you, she went to LSU law school. It's a Napoleonic justice. And she's having a difficult time passing the, she's passed the bar here in New York and in Maine, but she can't pass Louisiana.
Hmm.
And she went to law school to Louisiana. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's mad at me because I was supposed to come down to celebrate her taking the test with her. And I said, I'm only going to come down if you pass it. And that upset her. I shouldn't have said that. I should have said, yes, I will come down, and she probably would have passed it. But this is the second time she's taken it. She's got one more time. But the blacks and women can't make it in Louisiana. You can get it. And I'd love to see Ernest Murray, all of those guys make it in politics in Louisiana, but the Cajun is still in that state.
Yeah, I'm really meeting him.
So what do you think, Ms. Fox, about black women doing this spearhead of the civil rights movement, aside from the fact of being activists, but in terms of current fundraising.
When I think about how successful that they have been.
In terms of courage, I'm thinking of courage. Because I'm thinking about, well, Thelma Rice. I'm thinking about all the Deltas I knew who taught me in Alabama State. I'm thinking about all the black women who were outspoken in the civil rights movement. I think if you were to ask me, if you were to ask me the same question, I would say that I would know more women civil rights activists than I would know men.
Well, it is, of course, going back to the, I guess you said, late 30s, or even early 30s. And to the early, through the late 30s, early 30s, late 30s, and 40s. I really didn't know that many women who were involved. I wasn't that much involved myself, being rather young then. But when you come on to the late 40s and 50s and 60s, and women became more vocal. We didn't have, because I remember when I first joined the NAACP and became a secretary, there were two women who attended the meetings, and that was Johnny Carr and me, for the most part. Once in a while, Mrs. Nixon may go to some special meeting, but she wasn't a regular. Just kept it with me because he was always on the scene. And Mr. Nixon, you have me, I'd be working hard trying to get things out for him, trying to get articles out, sending letters to him. He would say, women don't need to be nowhere but in the kitchen.
Well, that was the whole attitude. But when I think about what I know about civil rights and what I know about rights.
In your days, it was women.
As time came on.
And the only woman that I knew.
When I think about who taught me English, when I think about who taught me writing, when I think about who taught me consciousness, I thought it was unfair. There were women. Men never said anything except play football, play in the band. I mean, you know.
Oh, that was at school.
Yeah, I mean, at school. I mean, my whole life in terms of my consciousness.
Of what
what the real world was like.
And what
black
it was like
men.
To be in the South.
Yes, well, I can learn all that from women. My mother, you have known me say very much about what my father has taught me.
Mm-hmm.
My father taught me about, put money in your pocket and turn your back and don't let anybody know what's in your hand. And my mama taught me all the things I know about humanity. And, it's true. I mean, and my father was here the other night, and my father walks in, and it's the first time he's been in this house, he was in the other house. My father walked in the house the other night and said, hard work. you did it all by yourself, did you? And I look at my father and I said, no, Pops. I said, you help. He said, yes, that's true. My mother would have walked in here, and my mother would have said, you've never arrived, haven't you? You know, so, I mean, I vacillate even in my consciousness at my age between how do I respond to my father? I've always responded to my mother out of emotion. My father, I've got to respond to what he thought. I mean, one has to think about what it is, because he takes the credit for something he didn't do. Well, yeah. I'm going to turn this tape off because I don't want this on my life, though. Yeah, and we did that. But I mean, even if somebody had told me. I got it. It's in my hand. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. Even if somebody told me today is the day.
Northern people Yankees, and that was I guess we used to hear them talking about the Yankees coming through, and at the end of the slavery, and people didn't know that they were free until somebody told them. And the Emancipation Proclamation and all that. And then by the time I was old enough to realize that we actually were not free was around the end of World War I when the Klansmen were riding through the community and burning churches and killing people, beating up people, and you could hear about it. The time when my grandfather, my mother's father, would have his shotgun close by it all the time, a single barrel. I think he had a double barrel gun. I think he had a double barrel gun. He kept it close by and he was talking about just in case the plans would break into our house, we had to not undress to go to bed, just keep your clothes on, whatever you were wearing. And my mother's sister had, after her husband's death, in either Auburn or Opelika, somewhere in one of the counties above
Montgomery. Opelika, yeah, it's up there. Yeah.
It was a Lee County and
Milltown, too.
I didn't ever go up there, but that was where they were living. But after he passed and she had these small children, well, my oldest cousin was...
Most of your people are from North Alabama?
No, well, from South Alabama, but she went up there after she married her husband, went up that way. They were from, I guess you say mid part of Alabama, around Montgomery, Montgomery County, and Raymond, all like that. Well, my mother went to Tuscaloosa.
Opelika is way up near Columbus, near Lafayette, Lynette.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was where my mother's oldest sister was living.
But your mother isn't from up there.
No. My mother's from Pine Level. She was born in Pine Level. In Montgomery.
And your grandmother?
My grandmother was, too.
God.
And my grandfather was too, and my great grandfather on my
Don't y'all get educated in there?
Mother's side was, they call him a Scotch-Irishman. Came through South Carolina and was brought down there and was in
Have you traced your family back to South
Carolina? We've been working on
South Carolina?
No, I haven't gone that far yet. But
it could be Charleston, you know.
But he was brought over on a ship when they have, when they used to bring them through and
Triangle Trade Route.
Being a
traded with the sugar. They came to South
but
Carolina.
But he was white though, he was not black. He came from Ireland or England or something.
But your mother must your great grandmother must have been black in Charleston.
Yeah, but my great grandmother didn't come from that. She came from down the Pine Level. But he met her there. After
How'd she
they
get up there?
From Pine River. I guess she was just another slave. Her family name was Noble. But I don't know anything about her being traded or being transferred at all. But there may be some history of it because she was an unmixed African as far as I know.
Unmixed?
African. It was not mixed up with white, but my great-grandfather was not mixed with black. And they were married and had and started a family before freedom was declared. And then, of course, my grandfather was the son of the plantation owner. And his mother was the house girl who never went to the field. I guess she was probably an octoroon or whatever they call them, so close to white. And his father was white, but he was treated very badly and was mistreated after the owner's death and his mother's death. I think she died first when he was very young. He remembered her, but he didn't live to see her after he was in the seismic. And not too long after her death was his man was named John Edwards, who died. And after his death, this overseer who was named Battle, last name was Battle, took over, and of course he disliked my grandfather so much, he just beat him all the time. And he said, I used to hear my grandfather say that when he was small, the only food that he remembered getting as a small child was when some of the people working in the kitchen would slip some bread or something inside the clothes in the bosom and would give him like that. He really wasn't, they tried to starve him and they tried to do everything to him. And so he really had a very intense and passionate hatred for white people. And the one thing he wanted never to see any of his children or anybody related to him have to work as what they call in servitude, doing the house and cleaning and all like that for the whites. Of course, I suppose that is the reason he wanted his children to be educated. But my mother's older sister was several years her senior, and she got grown and just left and went on to Montgomery. But she didn't go off to school she went into domestic work, even though she herself didn't have any use for white people either. But she worked in the field, and the second sister went to put on that book. I think that she died, and then when my mother was in her teen years is when I guess he got enough money or whatever he could together to send her off to school or to take her. I guess he took her really. Took her down to Payne and Brest and Selma, and then of course she went to Montgomery.
Okay, that's where we're going to go to Payne now. That's where you went right to where I wanted you to go.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you a story about my family and Payne College. Is it Payne?
They call it Payne University.
Payne University.
But I don't think it was
real.
No, no. Selma, Alabama.
No, Selma, Alabama is where my mother was. And the school was Payne.
See, because you know, we're going to discover we're relatives in about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
My mother's family, though they were from Arkansas, were part of Philander Smith School. Now, my mother had, my mother's mother, my grandmother's mother, my grandmother's mother, and my great-grandmother, had a brother named Blue Carter. Blue Carter, who was one of the original founders of Payne in Selma. And I'll tell you right now, Nell Carter is from Selma, Alabama. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't know she's my relative. Lived on the St. Philip's Street. And we're talking Presbyterian Church, I think, probably. Payne was Presbyterian, wasn't it?
I don't know. I thought it was
Methodist?
One of the AME schools at that time.
I think it started out Presbyterian.
It could have.
But it ended up being Methodist because they broke away. Because my mother's, my grandfather, my great-grandfather was an AME Methodist. I told you how I got to be Catholic because my mother was a Methodist AME. And they decided that was the best education I could get. Do you know in Selma, by the way, my brother was at one time vice president of Selma University.
There was a Selma University.
Selma University, yeah.
And then there was a Payne, I think, in Selma.
In Selma, right.
And Selma was a
there are a lot of black Paynes, by the way, in Atlanta, and they are from Selma. They all work for Eastern too, which is interesting. And most of them went to Xavier too, which also takes you back to Broad Street and you remember Father Zia?
Zia.
Yeah, Father Zia. Father Zach, we called
Zach.
Father Zach, which was don't tell me. My mother died in that hospital. St. Elizabeth, that's in Chicago. But the kind of Saint Hospital off Broad Street. What's the Catholic Hospital? You gotta tell me, you know, going crazy.
Is that in
the Catholic Hospital in Selma off of Broad Street.
I don't know anything about that. Hospital down there. I guess I just never even
The Paynes, the Paynes, the Carters, because I'm trying to dig out too much history, and that's what I'm overloading.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to dig out too much history. But anyway, my mother.
But were you ever related to anybody named Nobles? Because that was my great grandmother's maiden name.
Spelled N-O-B-L-E?
Mm-hmm. No, I think that he put an S on the end of it.
Oh, Dr. Jeannie Noble?
Well, I don't know, but that was my great grandmother's maiden name.
The Halls?
I can't remember the Halls. Harrison Noble and some other Nobles. They were my grandmother's uncle, because he lived in Montgomery, was a well digger.
The Hendersons, Fanny and the Henderson.
I knew some Henderson in Pine Valley.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah. Miss Sally Henderson. Yeah, so did you get some of your information?
Very white. very white and very fair.
No, these are very black and unmixed, no. And wasn't white folks mixed with all the Hendersons that I am thinking of now.
Okay, these are
but I guess black, there was some.
There's some blacks from
but they were very good looking people.
Henderson. Midwife.
My great-grandmother was a midwife. Her name was Mary Jane Percival, because that was my great-grandfather's name. And his name, he belonged to some white people named Wrights in Pine Level, but they never changed his name from Percival, which I guess he brought with him from the old country,
yeah.
Europe. And but he was always a Percival and never took on the name of the white master. While my grandfather was born in the Edwards family, and so he was in Edwards. And while you try to think of that, after the slavery was ended and the folks right down there found out they were free, that's when my great-grandfather built that little table with my grandmother, who was his oldest child at the age of 6, helping the pine knot or the lighter knot for him to fix it at night so he and his family could have something to eat on. Even though he had done that work for the white people, you know, making furniture and things like that, but he, I suppose, was using their tools, but without any tools at all, but just a hammer and a gimlet. And
a what? Gimlet?
A gimlet is a little something like that you bore little holes in wood, and instead of having nails, he was sharpening a little piece of wood down kind of small and put it in there as a peg.
Yes.
And so that was how he put the table together. It was one side of the wood, but I still have that.
In summer, did you know the Rogers?
Rogers.
They were on the grocery store on First Avenue. Pete Rogers. Rogers grocery store.
I can't remember too much. Persons I remember most in Salem was the Boyntons. Amelia Boynton.
Yes.
I remember her and her husband and Miss Annie Mae Boynton. And then there were some Youngs that I met in later years. I was at their house in 1941 when the Pearl Harbor was bombed. That was where I was. The first day the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. We were visiting
in
Selma that day.
Were you in Selma, Alabama in 1941, the Japanese bomb?
That's where I was. At the house of a man named Jim Young, because of Mr. Kelly.
Carpenters and architects?
He could have been, but he was an older man, and I think he was retired, and he had two daughters.
Yeah, and Chuck Tate's family, because they ended up in the Moffitts, if they're the same ones who were. I'm not trying to make a Demopolis Haskins. What I'm trying to do is to find out how entrenched your family was in terms of other black families in Alabama who were part of the liberation struggle. Because my family seems to go all the way back to being subversives and on my mother's side, and it came from Arkansas. On my daddy's side, they could care less. I'm not trying to vindicate my mother, but what I'm trying to find out is that the female side of activism, because I think that's part of your story too. I mean, I really do think it's women who've done this. I mean, I really do. I mean, if you think about the way I'm digressing this process. Don't think it's in search of me, because I generally know where I am. I'm just trying to find out the tone, the voice here, because there seems to be always a female link I've discovered, that's why most of the books I've been doing in the last 10 years have been women. It's funny, I got hooked on what I'm interested in. It keeps going to women. It never goes to men. Now I've got another hook, which is the book that I just finished with Lionel, and that still takes me back to Alabama, but it's a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Lionel took me to Dinah Washington took me to Lionel, and I always thought Lionel Hampton was from Chicago, and it's not. He's from Birmingham, Alabama. Interesting what happens here. There's always that woman keeps coming back in terms of the progress of the race. And I know that's not your story, but it is part of the story. And when I think about what happened in Alabama, it's women against the odds who have made those differences. Truly, in terms of, and not just saying mother of the movement, there's a mother of the mother of the mother of the mother. And if I can make that connection, because Selma, Alabama is very important, particularly when we start talking about that march. Because even if you didn't participate, see, you got roots there. I mean, if you stood on the sidelines and they said, come join us at St. Jude, you know, the last 4 miles, if you didn't do from Selma to Montgomery, you had roots there, pain, you know. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I went to Montgomery. I had moved to Detroit, Michigan to participate in the last lap of the march. And as I say, so many of the young, in the short while I had been out of Alabama, so many young people had grown up and they didn't know who I was and could care less because they didn't know me and they just kept putting me out of that march until I finally got back in anyway and went on downtown. And that was almost what I remember most about that day until we got down to the thing, down to the Capitol and stood in front of the Capitol building and those very hostile.
Is this the march or was it 60?
65.
That's with Ralph Bunch?
Yeah.
I got that picture
Roy Wilkins.
Martin, Coretta.
Abernathy and Juanita.
Yeah.
We were all on one line together when the picture was published in Ebony. There were several others too. So at that particular point, someone did have me come up to the front. We were in downtown Montgomery then.
I tell people all the time, and this is only because I know this for a fact, that you know that Ralph Bunch was from Montgomery.
I knew his wife was.
His wife was. Mm-hmm. People think he was born in Africa.
No, and his wife was one of those very fair women whose father, grandfather, somebody was white and kept getting put in jail. They said, I think she was the one. It must have been her great grandparents or grandparents right after Reconstruction when they were brought back the Jim Crow laws and were arresting people for staying together and all. And so a woman used to visit us, say that every time this particular man would get put in jail for having a black, she wasn't black, she was light too, but she was in there.
She's lighter than you.
Oh yes, she could pass very easily. And and as soon as they'd release him from jail, he'd go right back home to his wife, and he said they couldn't be on any jail that was going to keep him away from his wife and children. So I think they just gave up. It didn't bother him anymore. Yeah, I didn't know for certain about Ralph Bunch himself, but they must have met him.
His family roots go back to
Alabama.
To Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
But his family is from there.
I've always heard his wife was from, his wife's family was, I don't know if she was even born down there or not, but
no,
the family was
family.
From there.
When you were asking Mrs. Parks to trace her lineage, you know, what I have heard is that you know, with her grandfathers, you know, the atrocities that he suffered by being beaten and so forth as a youngster and having to
not have shoes to wear.
Fire.
That was my mother's
scared.
Father.
Yeah, your mother's father, you know, and he passing that
on to his children.
Onto his children, who was her mother. Is that
my mother?
Your mother and see,
my Aunt Fanny.
Right, and seeing all of that, but it, you know, it came from him, you know, and that built that courage, you know, that the entire family, you know, possessed. And
Ms. Parks, go ahead and tell me about the courage. I'll hear about it.
But my mother,
no,
she was really,
okay?
She was really
yeah, but what are you saying that it came from women and it did come directly from women, but you know, that it was grandfather that really, you know, he was the one that stirred, you know, that feeling. And, you know, said that you don't take anything from anybody. And I think that's you know, passed down emotionally, it's passed down genes, and, you know, so forth and so on.
Well, my grandmother had, I guess you'd say she was, had her courage in a different way, because after she was, after, you know, she knew she was freed and so on, she lived in the house with the Wright family, you know, the ones that, because they had a small child that they wanted her to take care of, and she lived in the house with them from the time she was about, I guess, 6 or 7 or so, large enough to take care of a small child. And that was what, I think the woman was, what's her name, is Zula. Yes. And so she, while she worked and around the house looking after this child, I guess, I don't know how much work she did in the field. She may not have had too much time at work in the field. See, my grandfather was at that particular time going through all types of punishment and being mistreated very badly. But when they got together and married, she was, I guess, the most, I would guess you'd say the most
calm
one. And he was, you say he was very emotional, and he was very, being very white, he took every bit of advantage of it as he could to embarrass as many white folks as he could when they thought he was white. And he was always doing or saying something that would embarrass or agitate them. And he seemed to just be that kind of person. And so how he survived with what, as I say, with being very outspoken, and as I say, talking big talk and saying, I don't know, and unless it's because he was so white and so much one of them that they, and I guess being crippled too, because he was always from a very young, I don't know how old he was when he became crippled, with what they call rheumatism then, and couldn't hardly wear any shoes, and sometimes he couldn't walk at all. Sometimes he could, and sometimes he couldn't. He was still trying to take care of his family.
Well,
so,
I know remembering your mother and how outspoken she was, and then having
her. Did you meet her?
Yes,
yeah, she
did.
She was just the opposite from Mrs. Clark.
I'm starting to smoke Miss Parks out. See, I don't know where this business about my feet tired and my soul.
I didn't say that. Other people have said it. I never told anybody yet.
I know. I can't find it. That's why.
People have said that.
That's one thing that we are trying.
They have.
I know that.
You know that expression came from. It seemed that there was some woman in Ellen, the woman. When they would be testifying in the mass meeting or saying something in the church, she would say, "My soul is rested. My feet's tired, but my soul is resting."
Yeah.
And so somebody's supposed to have said it like that, but I never did. In all of my interviews, tell anybody that my feet were hurting or that my feet were tired. That I was. I think it was. See, when people couldn't,
people just could not figure out why you were crazy, nigga, Miss Fox. And then you had somebody after you were crazy, nigga. Why weren't you scared? I mean, I know about the other stuff, but. Your feet weren't tired and your soul wasn't rested.
No.
You just was tired.
Well, I had had so much trouble with so many bus drivers.
I got that.
And I felt that, as when the lake told me, saying, "No, y'all make a bet on yourselves and let me have this seat." Well, I could not see where it was making it any lighter. The more we gave in and complied, the worse they treated us. Well, I knew, as I said, going all the way back to the time when I sat up all night and didn't sleep when my grandfather had his gun right by the fireplace away every wall, or if he had his little one-horse wagon going away, he always had his gun in the body of the wagon. Now, those are two things that were never away from him as long as he was able to get up and hitch up his horse or mule or whatever he was driving to that little wagon. His shotgun was always in the body of it. He just kept it like that.